serious about getting this job accomplished. And he's lowered down on this bed, so obviously there's something wrong with him. He needs help, and he's lowered down there right by the Lord Jesus. And he says, the Lord Jesus looks at him and said, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." Well, that is the most wonderful thing, to be forgiven of our sins by the Lord. But the scribes and the folks that are there, it said that they accused the Lord of blaspheming, and they did that within their hearts. The Lord knows that. And the Lord says that considering that he was blaspheming is evil. And they were thinking it in their hearts. And then he asked this question, what's easier, to say to the man his sins are forgiven or to say for him to get up and walk? Which is easiest? Now, if we really take a look at that and consider that truthfully, to forgive one's sins is the greatest work there. But the Lord says something here, and that's the way the Lord is doing. He's always working on everybody at the same time. He says, that ye may know, verse number 6, that the Son of Man, and so this is Jesus, God the Son, that has come down to the earth and become a man. He is the Son of God, but he is the Son of Adam, if you will, identifying with us. He knows everything what it is to be human. And he became human so that he could be a savior for humans. So he could have blood to shed. So he could have a body to be sacrificed. So we would have a repository for a soul that was poured out unto death, as the scripture says. He became like us, but without sin. He says, but that ye may know, everybody there and everybody here this morning, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house. So the Lord gives us a straight line understanding there of the purpose of the miracles, that we might know that he is the Savior, and he's got the power to do what he says he can do. Not only to heal, as he proved here, but that he has the power on earth to forgive sins. That makes him the Savior that you and I need. There's no one else, none other, but the Lord Jesus. And so it's very interesting. You know what the man did? He got up and picked up his bed and went home. I often wonder about what he did after that. I kind of figure he came back. And so they're all marveling about it. And then the Lord Jesus goes on and he calls Matthew, who is writing this gospel. And he says simply to Matthew, follow me. The word of the Lord came unto Matthew. Matthew had to do, no doubt, with John the Baptist previously, as we understand, and was a man that was saved. He is a publican. He's a tax collector. He seems to be on that second or third tier of that tax collecting thing in that day that Rome rules Judea and Samaria and Galilee. And the Lord says simply to him, follow me. Matthew was around the word of God. The word of the Lord came directly into him. And you and I today, and we that have, maybe you are young here and you've know nothing but growing up in Olmsted Baptist Church, or maybe you've are a visitor and have been associated with Olmsted Baptist Church, or maybe you're a member here, a longtime member or a short time member, or have been around or not around for much, but by virtue of the Lord's body here, the word of God's come to you. And you have it before you to deal with it. As we all do. All of us have that. And then we come to verse number 10, and this is a point that we want to focus on. And it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Matthew, as Levi, has thrown the Lord a great feast. And as it would be, Matthew's friends will come to that feast. And we see here that Jesus is willing to be with them. He's not condoning them, the publicans, in any way that they might have been taking taxes or collecting taxes in a wrong way or disobedient to the order that they had given. He's not condoning that by any means, or nor these sinners. And it's kind of a reference. It's a twofold thing. All men and women are guilty of having transgressed God's law. But that's also used as a term of derision by the religious leadership of the day, sinners, sinners. Why is he having to do with sinners? But the Lord is there and he's willing to be near them. And the Pharisees, when they saw it in verse number 11, said unto his disciples, they don't go to Jesus directly, but may they go to Peter or to John or James or Philip and Andrew. They motion them over to them there and they say, why eateth your master, your rabbi, your teacher with publicans and sinners? After all, we don't. And anybody that has their act together doesn't. That's their thinking. That's their way. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them. So Jesus knows the hearts of all. And even if he didn't hear it with his ear, he heard it with his spirit, if you understand, because the Lord is omnipresent when he wants to be, and he always is, but the Lord knows hearts. So he heard it. He said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. So first thing the Lord tells them is, those that have a problem, those that have an illness and a sickness, those that are at a deficit, those that have trouble, those that have a problem, they need help. If they're well, if they're whole, if they don't have any issue, they don't have any thing at hand that compromises them, they don't need a doctor. But those that do have a problem, those that do have a sickness, those who do are compromised, they need help. Publicans and sinners, they need help. They need help indeed. You know what's implied by this? Well, the Lord implies that he is there and able to help. That he has helped. That he came to help. And he said, these right here, Matthew's friends, those that have come to this feast that he has thrown for me, the Lord Jesus is the guest of honor. He said, they need help. There's kind of an implication there. And to the Pharisees, as we know on other accounts where the Lord Jesus, he really, if he gets hard and down on anybody, it's on the leadership. The folks that are in place of responsibility and ministering, shepherding of the people, whether it be his own disciples that are following him or the leadership that is in Israel and the former Old Testament economy that is there. He said, you ought to see that they need help. And why are you separating yourselves from the very one that you ought to be ministering the good things of God unto? I think we understand that from the scriptures. So he says, those that are well, those that are whole, they don't need a physician, but they that are sick, they need a physician. First point of our message in verse 13. But go ye and learn what meaneth. That has been added by the translators to help us understand. Sometimes those italicized words do help. Sometimes they don't. We might think that with the that there that we need to learn what the previous means. And it is tied to what we need to understand, what we need to learn. But I think the direct implication is what's in the verse there, what's in the sentence. But go ye and learn what meaneth, what this means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The Lord Jesus says you need to learn something. And you need to learn something from the Word of God. This is a quote from the Old Testament book of Hosea, Hosea chapter 6. If you want to turn there and quickly we can read this chapter. It's not that long. here Hosea is writing, and there's a dialogue here, and we need to try to understand who's speaking. It starts off in Hosea 6. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. And so that's the Lord's children, the nation of Israel. The prophet in pleading the nation, let's go back. He's chastised us. He's chastised us because he cares for us. He hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. Even Hosea, after all the chastisement of the Lord upon the nation for their wickedness and their disobedience, he understood that the Lord would heal a people that would yield and repent unto him, unto the Lord. After 2 days, he will revive us. This is interesting. And in the third day, he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. He'll give us life. He'll help us. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain and as the latter and former rain into the earth. He will take care of us and he will bless us. This is a promise of the Lord upon the nation of Israel from the beginning. Then seemingly here, it's the Lord speaking. O Ephraim, that's another reference for Israel. It's one of the tribes, but it's a reference unto them. It's a term of endearment, I believe. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? A delineation there between the northern and southern kingdoms. For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew it goeth away. You're so prone to repent, but you don't really repent from your heart. You repent from the standpoint of getting out of trouble. It's not sincere. It's not in the depth of your soul. It's only skin deep. Therefore have I hewed them by the prophets. That hewing is speaking about the processing of a log and of making of timber and lumber and such as that. He said, I've worked them over. I've hewed them by the prophets. I have slain them with the words of my mouth. The Lord sending the prophets and his men to bring the word of God unto them, that they would repent and they would not. And thy judgments are as the light that go in my, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. Verse 6. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. They have dwelt treacherously against me. Gilead is a city of them that work iniquity and is polluted and with blood. And as troops of robbers wait for a man, so the company of priests murder in the way by consent, for they commit lewdness. There's the leadership. I have seen an horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is the whoredom of Ephraim. Israel is defiled. Also, O Judah, he hath set an harvest for thee when I return the captivity of my people. So there in verse number 6, the Lord lets them know, I've desired to be merciful. I'm not looking for your sacrifice. I'm not looking for the worship of a deity to keep pleased and to appeased and to be pushed off from any ill that would be delivered upon the people. But I desire to be merciful, the Lord says. He says, that's what I enjoy. Not sacrifice to keep me at bay. You know, that's the way man looks at the gods that man creates is, and the way it is the gods that men create, the gods that the devil promotes amongst men are gods to be feared, and you appease them with something or something, and that keeps them at bay of tormenting you. Well, God Almighty, he is holy and he is righteous and he is to be feared and reverenced. But he has always desired relationship. to be merciful. To be merciful to the guilty. That word mercy, that attribute of mercy, is to not give a person what they deserve. And the Lord said, I have desired mercy. Mercy from the people? No, mercy from God. He is the one that can be merciful because he's not sinned against us by any means. But we have sinned against him. For I have desired mercy, not sacrifice. I have desired the knowledge of God. For God to know about himself? No, he knows all about himself. For us to know about him. To understand him, to know him, to worship him in his grandeur, his greatness, his majesty, his glory. I have desired the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. And so Jesus is quoting this over in Matthew 9. And he says to them, you need to go learn something. You need to go learn what this means. Jesus, God the Son, I want mercy. I want mercy to be exhibited. I want mercy by me to be dispensed. I'm not looking for sacrifice. Therefore, I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. See, if somebody is righteous in their own mind and thinking, what do they need with the Savior? What do they need with God? What do they need with the salvation? They're great. Everything's good. They know their way. They know they're in good shape. They'll handle all their sin and what's going on. They have no sin. Don't admit their sin. But the Lord says, you need to learn this. That I am pleased and I rejoice in mercy being exhibited unto the guilty. I'm not come to call the righteous. The self-righteous is what he's in. It's not saying that there's a cut of people that are righteous and don't need him. All need him. All are in the guilty column. All are in the sinner column. But there are those and many that never see that they are sinner and have transgressed against God in such an egregious way that they are guilty, that they're worthy of hell and the lake of fire for eternity because of their sin. They say, I'm okay, I'm good with it, or I'll deal with it, or I'll ignore it. He said, I didn't come to call them, but I came to call sinners to repentance. Understand, to these people and to us again this morning, the will and the desire of the Lord has been given out unto us again. I love mercy. I will have mercy. See, these publicans and these sinners here, they're guilty and they know it. And by me sharing the truth of the Word of God and that, and by my very presence in that, they are brought to understand their need. They are brought to see their need of a Savior, the Savior, me as Savior, just like Matthew has. See, Matthew threw the feast for the Lord. He threw the meal for the Lord. And what did Matthew want for his friends, for his co-workers, for those that lived there around him in his neighborhood or in the town? He wanted for them the same thing that he had. And that was mercy from the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you need to learn that. And you know what? You and I, we need to learn that from our Lord. In Micah chapter 6, the Old Testament minor prophet of Micah, in chapter 6, verse number 8, listen to what the scripture says. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy? Indeed, as the children of God, being saved by the Lord, we need to be merciful too. We need to be a merciful people. But you know what? We love mercy when we agree with the Lord's mercy, that we need it. I need the mercy of the Lord. I, in and of myself, I'm a wicked, condemned sinner. But the Lord Jesus, back in 1987, he saved me. He visited me and showed me my sin, showed me my guilt, showed me my need. He showed me that hell and the lake of fire was my destination, and I had no hope but him. He was merciful to me. He showed me that truth and gave me faith to believe and just rest in him, to say, no, I don't need the Lord's mercy, but oh yes, I need the Lord's mercy. The Lord's mercy is the only help that will help me. And the Lord has shown us this, what the Lord requires to do justly and to love mercy, to love his mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. See, the Pharisee here that came and asked the Lord Jesus' disciples, they didn't think they had any need. And they certainly weren't walking humbly with the Lord, were they? No, because they thought their self-righteousness made them well before God. They saw these publicans and these sinners, and Brother Matthew is the scourge of the earth that needed to be avoided. And if this man, they said on another occasion, if this man is a prophet, why does he even allow these people to touch him? See, that's their attitude. With disdain, they held these people that way. But the Lord Jesus, so they are not walking humbly with the Lord, but to walk humbly with the Lord is to admit, yes, you're right, Lord. I do need your mercy. I do need you. I am sick and full of sin, and I need somebody that can heal me. The Lord says we need to go learn that. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I remember also this passage in 1 Samuel 15. You know, Saul has reigned for a couple years, and King Saul, the first king of Israel, and has had success. The Lord has given him a mission in regards to the Amalekites. If you know anything about that passage, you see and know that Saul did not fulfill everything that the Lord had given him to do. He disobeyed. And Samuel, the prophet, had to come around and to tell him the truth. And Saul was yet resistant and in denial about what God had told him to do, his thinking he had obeyed it. And this verse in 1 Samuel 15, verse 22 stands out in regards to this. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? Is that what he wants? The oblation of men, to bring the animal, to raise the animal, bloodlet the animal, prepare the animal, burn it up in a fire, and put it before the Lord. Is that what the Lord has a pleasure in? And he did give that to Israel to typify Christ. And it was theirs to do. But it was there to show that there's more to the Lord and to ultimately lead men to understand that there's more to the Lord than just taking and burning an animal before him. But that the Lord wants a relationship. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? So the Lord Jesus said, you need to learn something. I love mercy. I love to be merciful. But the Lord, if you will, and you understand this, the Lord can only be merciful to those that receive it and who are repentant, to know that they need it. Because remember the Pharisee? Why is your master having to do with these sinners? Not humble, not listening to the word of God that he's been around the whole time that he's been a Pharisee from his young life. The Old Testament scriptures, as obeying the voice of the Lord, he says to Saul, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And so there Saul is brought to account by the prophet and by the Lord. You did not obey. And the Lord Jesus here tells us, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I ask you this morning, will you obey that? See, not another route, not another thinking, not something else that you would we would contrive ourselves or this world or our own flesh and our own mind and that we would say, we'll work it out our way, but will you obey what the Lord says? He said, we need to learn that we would obey it. He wants mercy. Not something that you and I can do. Not something that you and I can work. Something to learn from the one. Something to learn from the one in which to believe. Go learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We go on in verse number 14. The disciples of John ask about fasting, and the Lord Jesus tells them, he says, well, I am here. There's not a need to fast. One day I'll be taken away, and there will be indeed a need for them to fast. And then a man comes, and he says, my daughter is nigh unto death. She's even has already died, but if you'll lay your hand on her, she'll live. And as they go, there's a woman that had had this issue of blood for 12 years, the same number of years as the age of that man's daughter. And she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I can be made whole. She knew she had a problem. The man knew his daughter had a problem. The great physician is indeed near. And they, you know what they did? They believed that they needed help and that he was the one to help them. What did she do? She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And sure enough, she worked her way in there and touched the hem of his garment. And the Lord Jesus said, virtue went out of him because she believed that he could do so. The man came in regards to his daughter and they get there and it tells in verses 23 and so 23, 24 and that and the girl had died. They're making a great mourning there. And the Lord says, get place. You all get out of the way. She's not dead. She's asleep. And that's the way the Lord looks at death. They laugh him to scorn. He puts them all away and takes her by the hand. And she's raised from the dead. It all spread around. He is the great physician, isn't he? He loves being merciful to the dead. To the physically ill, to the sinner, mercy, hearkening, which is hearing and obeying, is what he enjoys. It's the reason he came. Then we come to verse number 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, have left the man with the little girl who's been raised from the dead. Two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. We need your mercy. We need some mercy from you. We need you to give us what we don't deserve. We need you to not let us continue on in this blind, this dark way in which we go. We cannot use our eyes. We can't see. Have mercy on us. Verse 28. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him. So they continued on. They followed him. Jesus departed the house of the man with the daughter that had died and went on to another house. And those blind men continued on and however it was that they could and they would, following and crying after Jesus. And Jesus did not stop till he got to the other house. How far away they were, I do not know. But they knew he was near. They knew they had a problem. And they believed that he could help them. Amen. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, here's the next point and the last point for this morning, something to learn from one in which to believe. Believe ye that I am able to do this? And there's where it is with all of us. Do you believe that Jesus can heal you? Do you believe that Jesus can save you? Because that's what you need to do. See, Jesus says, I love mercy. What's that imply? He's able to be merciful. He knows every condition of mankind, physically and in health, and even to the need of the soul. He doesn't say, I can be merciful to you 87% of the cases of things that you might have. He says, no, I love being merciful to your kind. Does he say that and not know what he's faced with in dealing with it? No, he knows full well. He said, here's the worst of it. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That you are a sinner, that you are guilty before God, that you do have a need that you can't take care of. Just like these men are physically blind, so it is with us. We are naturally sinners before God and in need of salvation. Do you believe that I can do this? We need to learn that the Lord is merciful, and he desires mercy and not sacrifice. He's come to call the righteous, not the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And he says unto these blind men, believe ye that I am able to do this? They say unto him, yea, Lord, yes. They've come to him. They've pursued after him. They've not left him alone until they faced him, and he came to a point that he dealt with it. Again, I don't know the distance between the two houses, but they didn't quit once they were convinced. Do you believe I can do this? What was it they asked for? Have mercy on us. Do you believe I'm able to have mercy on you? Yea, Lord. They say unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, what's it say? According to your faith, be it unto you. According to your faith. Was it faith that things would just get better if they strained hard enough in hope? No, the faith was in the man. In the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? And say, yes, we believe you are able to do this. He said, in the way that you believed, be it unto you. What's it say? And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But you know what happened? From those two fellows, everybody knew it. Because they couldn't keep their mouth closed, could they? I mean, they told it and told it and told it. Because why? The Lord had been merciful to them. He had given them the desire of their heart and their need. They saw themselves in the need that they had, and they heard the full extent of the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ was not only for the ill, but all the way to the worst condition and the worst sickness an illness of man, that of their sin. He said, I love being merciful. I want mercy to be exhibited. Something to learn from the one in which we are to believe. You believe I can do this? You know what? If you're here and you're not saved, I pray that you can believe. You would believe that the Lord could save your soul. Not heal your body, although the Lord can, not make you healthy, wealthy, and wise, but to heal you from the greatest problem that you have, the eternal problem that you have, and that is of your sin. He's able. He loves saving sinners. And we pray that you would repent and believe and trust in Him and Him alone for the salvation of your soul.